We are going on a little farther tonight in our study of the larger catechism. Number 159, we made only the progress of one word last Sabbath evening. But tonight, we're going to make quite a bit of progress. I would say seven words. So we will go over that. Just, we got to the word faithfully last time, so we will just go seven words beyond that in this rather lengthy answer to number 159. So if you are able there, you can do it with us in doing the answer together. Larger Catechism, number 159, how is the Word of God to be preached by those that are called thereunto? They that are called to labor in the ministry of the Word are to preach sound doctrine diligently, in season and out of season, plainly, not in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, faithfully making known the whole counsel of God. And there we have a very deep subject of the whole counsel of God. So we're going to turn in God's Word to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, and this is a very touching portion because it was the last meeting on earth of the Apostle Paul with the beloved elders of the church in Ephesus. In chapter 20 of Acts and verse 17, and verse 16 says, I'm not going to read the whole thing, for Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus, to not go to Ephesus. So verse 17, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save or except that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And I want to pause in our reading right there for just a moment, because you realize he is speaking to the elders of the church in Ephesus. This is very important because he is giving them the burden of his heart, because in less than 30 years, according to Revelation chapter 3, that church had left its first love. That church was in a very sad condition. They had left their first love. So let's go on here just a little farther with verse 25. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Now, he's speaking of two fronts of attack. There would be grievous wolves entering in from the outside. And there would also be those arising from within the congregation, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn you every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore. They were weeping profusely. And fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Amen. Now the apostle says in verse 27, this is our subject. He says, well, let's back up to verse 26. He said, I am pure from the blood of all men. All there in that, especially where you are in Ephesus, I'm pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I have not held back. I have not restrained myself. I have preached to you all the counsel of God. Now, this is very searching. This is very searching for the preacher. Here's a checklist for the preacher to see if he's doing his job. I take this very seriously and personally. I want to be doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I realize that I am accountable first and foremost to God. I am accountable to this congregation. I'm accountable to others. But in the place that we have read here in the answers to this question 159, we come to those words, making known the whole counsel of God. Our forefathers at the Westminster Assembly declared that the preacher must preach the whole counsel of God. Well, I want to ask, first of all, what does this mean? The original word that is translated counsel means the will, the design, or the purpose of God. Now, the old Puritan commentators, I'm going to read you some of their short words on this. First of all, Matthew Poole wrote, the whole counsel of God is the complete doctrine of Christianity. Wow. Dr. John Gill said, it is the entire gospel doctrine that is necessary for salvation and that which will glorify God and do good to the souls of men. Matthew Henry, he wrote a very full one here, which is one that we're really going to stick with. He said, the whole counsel of God is a complete body of divinity. What is he talking about? A systematic theology. Several of the Puritans wrote what are known as bodies of divinity. And some of us have a particular love for Thomas Watson because he was very concise and very powerful and sweet in his presentation. It has a three-volume body of divinity, or systematic theology is what that is. So many of them did that. Thomas Boston in the next century did it. And he liked our dear brother Watson so much that he would just copy down page after page of Watson in his book and never even said he did. He knew good preaching. So, Brother Watson actually preached those sermons in his congregation in London that he put into that body of divinity or systematic theology. This is what Matthew Henry said, that the preaching of the whole counsel of God is preaching the body of divinity, a systematic theology. Paul, he goes on and he says, Paul had not avoided dealing with the hard points or the easy points. To be free from the blood of all men, Paul preached what he knew would provoke the sinful and careless hearers. Now, John MacArthur said, the whole counsel of God is the entire purpose of God for man's salvation in all its doctrines, in all of its fullness of doctrine. It includes creation, providence, election, redemption, justification, adoption, conversion, sanctification, and glorification. That sounds like what we're studying on Sunday nights, doesn't it? Okay. And Dr. Johannes Voss wrote, the preaching of the whole counsel of God means the entire revealed truth and will of God. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft, who preached it so many years and put it in his five volumes, Dr. Moorcraft said it means to preach only the Bible and all of the Bible. So the question remains, how is a preacher to do this? It's a big assignment. I say it can't be done by staying and preaching in the same congregation for 2 years or even for 5 years, as so many preachers do. Many preachers have what they you might call a stock of sermons, and after they preach through them once over for a few years, then since most of the people have forgotten them, I ask people, did you get anything out of Sunday morning? You know, we're at Sunday dinner table, and, did you preach today? Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't get any of it. So since most people have forgotten them, those preachers simply go back and preach through them again. I was in a pastor's study. Let me put the quotation marks. His study one day some years ago, and he showed me a stack of store-bought sermons. He had purchased these, and sort of like the rich man who had much goods laid up for many years, he was rejoicing because these sermons were like a little sheet of paper like this, and they were neatly done, printed on both sides. And all he had to do was pick him out one and go over it a few times, and he was ready to preach. It seemed to me to be so fake and so professional. Where was the heart in that? And where was the burden from the Lord in all that? So the question is, if that's not it, then how is a man to preach the whole counsel of God? Well, thank God we have examples. We have historical examples. And it didn't start yesterday. It didn't start the 20th century or the 19th century. But it started in the early church. There were men who preached through whole books of the Holy Scriptures at once. You read Augustine and Chrysostom. They would preach through a book all the way through. It's wonderful. They preached through the Gospel of Matthew, through the Psalms, through the epistles, but not just the church fathers. But you remember the reformers of the 16th century did the same thing. This is 30 of John Calvin's sermons. Wonderful. This is an ancient copy of his 30 of his sermons from the Psalms. There are several other volumes that are in the series on the Psalms. But, you know, Calvin had such a big bunch of sermons. But you know what he did? Calvin preached probably 6 or 7 new sermons every week. That just really blows me away. They testified that the neighbors saw the candle burning late, late, late in Calvin's window. He was burning the midnight oil, studying late, getting very little sleep, and going to St. Peter's and preaching the next day a new sermon. And there are 30 of them in that book right there. He preached Monday through Friday, every day. Every day he would preach in that cathedral. And then, of course, he preached there more than once on the Lord's Day. And he has left us such a wonderful treasure that, but, you know, in doing that, when he was 55, he was a worn-out old man, and he died. Luther lasted a little longer, but he did the same thing. Volumes and volumes of Luther preaching through the books of Scripture, and he made it to 63, and he died. He left us a great wealth of powerful sermons. These men wore out preaching the whole counsel of God. And of course, C.A. Spurgeon preached nearly all the Bible and has left a great wealth of powerful sermons. And it took its toll on him. He died when he was 58. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones set us a wonderful example in more recent years by preaching through whole books of Scripture. How many volumes on Romans? Is it 14 or 16 volumes on Romans? Wonderful. He preached the Bible for over 40 years in the same place. Now, you may have noticed that the commentators said something about preaching the whole counsel of God. What are you talking about? Matthew Henry put it very plainly, a body of divinity, preaching systematic theology. Well, praise God. We have not been left without guidance in that regard. This poor preacher believes in systematically going through the Westminster Standards regularly. Over the years, we have gone through the Shorter Catechism twice, the Confession once, and we're still making an effort to try to get through the Larger Catechism. But we need to see that God's Word is a unified whole, that the doctrine of Scripture applies to everything in our lives and directs us with principles for every area of human existence and human endeavor in the fullness of the kingdom of God. And I think we've begun to see that, especially when we're going through the Ten Commandments. Wow, we had no idea that the Lord's commandment was, as the psalmist said, so exceeding broad that when the commandment in number 7, thou shalt not commit adultery, it involved every kind of immoral sexual sin, even sins of the mind, and just all these terrible things that are so rampant in our society today. So I've been very convicted in going through this because, you know, over the years, I don't know how many books we've gone through in this congregation. I know that we've gone through Revelation and Genesis. We've gone through Hebrews and 1 Corinthians and Ruth and I don't know. But that's not very much of the Word of God. So I feel quite shamed in comparison to these old preachers that live before us and preach through most of the Bible. Most of the Bible. I mean, if you look up Spurgeon online, I would encourage you to go to the website called Spurgeon's Gems, G-E-M-S. And it has a catalog of all of the texts that he ever preached. And there's not a whole lot missing in the Word of, you know, in the Bible that he didn't preach. I'm sure he preached from probably every chapter of the Bible. Well, I've never done that. But the command is so clear that we are to preach the whole counsel of God, the mind and the will of God, especially concerning the great doctrines of the faith. So I'm very thankful for the guidance. I don't believe that God had our forefathers to have that little window. You think about that window between Charles I and Charles II. There was a little window given when Charles I was willing to carry out war against his own people by hiring foreign armies to come in and kill them. And then at last the Puritans gained the supremacy in England, and they had the Puritan Parliament and the Westminster Assembly. But you know, it wasn't too long after that, Charles II came back. And many of these people that had been faithful in ministering the Word of God, they were put to death. They were killed during the reign of Charles II, who was a pretender, that he was a supporter of those who preached the Bible. Not at all. And so there was just that little window. And why did God allow them to give what is known in the Protestant world as the essence of the confessions, the Westminster Confession and the catechisms? I believe the Lord has given us a great treasure, and we have so much guidance here of how we are to study the Word of God and to apply it to our lives. And so amazing that the shorter catechism was originally made by the Puritans for the children. The shorter catechism was made for the children. And some of us in our old age are still learning the shorter catechism. It was written for children. And we think about, even in our country, the Constitution was written in the language of farmers. Wow. Can somebody please explain to me the meanings of all that's said in our own Constitution? We are really advanced, aren't we, in our education. We are so far out there in the world with our understanding of, and our education, our technology. Well, we do have technology, thank the Lord, but a lot of the basic things. I said to my Greek students this week, this last week on Friday, I said, now we are getting into the grammar. So first we need to talk about what English is. So we have to look up the English parts of speech. And who knows English? Oh, English, what is that? Okay, so anyway, we pride ourselves in being so educated today. We've got degrees of this and that. And yet, young boys in the century past were completing greater degrees and getting more education than we adults have. But I don't want anybody to feel bad about it, but you know, that's just where we are. But thank the Lord, we have guidance. We have help. We're not left in the dark. The Lord has been so good to us. He's given us His Word, which is the standard. And we're so glad that we have what Henry said, a body of divinity to help us understand something of the whole, how it fits together and how it impacts our hearts and our lives and how we are to live.